It's the Word of God that has the power. And it's the Word of God as it is sown in our hearts that releases the power in and through us. It's not getting God to come down and do anything. It's not God out here. It's God in here, inside us. What is the definition of a Christian? One who the Holy Spirit dwells in. The Word of God tells us that if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in a person, they are not His. Holy Spirit dwells in a person, you are His. How many this morning the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you? Amen? Would you say with me, the Holy Spirit dwells in me? Therefore I'm His. Isaiah 54, verse 9, for this is the water, this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. No, God's not angry with you. I met with three people in the last 3 months that actually got to the point to argue with me that God's punishing them. Well, then God's a liar. Because God said He put all the punishment on Jesus. All the punishment that we deserved on Jesus. Notice the word rebuke. Nor will He rebuke us. The word rebuke in the Hebrew there has the connotation of evaluate. Nor will He evaluate our performance. Nor will He evaluate our righteousness. Nor will He evaluate how good we're doing or how poorly we're doing. Do you know that according to the Word of God, we are not to monitor our own behavior? I'm doing good. I'm not doing so good. I did good today. I didn't do so good today. You know, I'm just trying to be a better person. Well, what are you saying? If you're trying to be a better person, you must think you're not such a good person if you're trying to get better. Are you hearing this? Every single born-again Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, who God is our Father, who Jesus died for, bought and paid for, is susceptible to this. To this deception. Any one of us could wake up one morning and be caught in this snare. However, the grace of God is sufficient for any weakness, if you recognize the weakness and your need for His grace. You don't understand, Pastor John. I have it all together. Really? You got it all together. You don't understand. I know everything. I don't need to be taught anything. Is that not what a lot of the body of Christ is saying? Who are separated from the body? Is that not the true intent of the heart? Proverbs 18:1, anyone who isolates themselves seeks only their own way. You don't understand. Nobody can correct me. I know everything. Well, there is eight or ten things in my life that are not so good, but look at this. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. His kindness never departs from us. Do you understand what I did? That's not the issue. The issue is God's word. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Are you peaceful? Are you at peace? This is the reason why I absolutely abhor the teaching or the bringing up of the idea that God is trying to make us surrender to Him. You know, all that stuff's happening to you, and God's doing this to you, and bringing this trouble to you, and bringing this tribulation to you, and He's doing all of this because He wants you to surrender. Wait a minute. Surrender means there's a war. Well, God certainly isn't at war with us. Never was. Amen? Can you see that? His covenant of peace, He will never break. Well, if I'm trying to get someone to surrender to me, then I must be at war with them. There is no teaching in this word, no verse of scripture, nothing that says anything about God trying to make people surrender to Him. Nowhere. What is His desire? That all be saved. That all be delivered from this present evil age. Well, why would He deliver us from this present evil age and at the same time believe that He's using the evil of the age for something in our life? This would mean God is schizophrenic. Double-minded. Wouldn't it? Well, all this terrorist activity in these countries, and I've heard this already from the body of Christ that lacks knowledge. Well, God's doing something there. God's what? Look at this here. Verse 11. O you afflicted ones, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay a foundation with sapphire. I will make you pinnacles of rubies and gates of crystal and all your walls of precious stone. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Praise you, Lord. Terror cannot come near us. Now, do you want that particular truth of the Word of God to be fruitful in your life. How many want that word to be fruitful? You mix it with faith. For the word of God did not profit the children of Israel when they heard the gospel because they did not mix it with faith. What does that mean that I mix it with faith? Very simple. If you're not willing to say it, you're not mixing it with faith. What puts the law of faith in motion? What causes the law of faith to work in our lives? Until you're willing to confess it in front of anybody, you haven't mixed it with faith, and the law of faith is not working. Aren't you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. Aren't you afraid of all that terrorist stuff? I'm not afraid. I will not fear. The Lord's on my side. No oppression comes near me. No fear of terror comes. You know how many people I know that won't take a plane? A lot. No terror and no oppression comes near any plane I'm on. I don't need air marshals on the plane I'm on. I got the angels. Amen? Nurse lady trying to convince me that I had to get the flu because I refused to take a flu shot. I said, I've never had a flu shot. You're going to get the flu. I said, not me. I said, sickness is oppression, and oppression is far from me in the name of Jesus. Church, if you don't answer it, it's going to come get you. Keep coming. Keep coming until it enters in. Enters in where? In you. In your thinking. In your mind. In the meditation of your heart. You have to answer. You have to answer. You have to answer. Hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to the word of life. What does that mean to hold fast to? Pay attention, take possession, and don't let it go. Amen. Now here's something very, very important to everyone's faith. So important for you to understand this. Because if you don't understand this, it will erode your faith. 15th verse. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. You take those words big in your heart and your mind, and understand that any trouble, any tribulation, any problems, any oppression, anything that comes your way, God is not behind it. He has not authored it. He has not in any way a part of that. No, He's not causing you to be sick so you'll learn something. Now that is foundational. Because you see, there's a problem. If you believe in any way, just a little bit, that God has something to do with, well, I know God allowed it. Well, wait a minute. It doesn't say that. He said, none of it is because of me. I use the illustration. What's the difference? If the guy hires a hitman, well, God uses the devil. Lie. Ain't got nothing to do with the devil in the sense that he would do anything with him. But what about Job? Devil tried to get God to touch Job. What'd God say? No way. Job 3:25, the thing that Job feared the most came upon him. You see, if there's any part of me, if there's just a little bit of leaven within me that thinks that God has something to do with any part of the curse coming upon, you will not be able to stand strong in faith. It's a devil trick to erode, to put down the shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart. Lord's desire for us is that no matter what the enemy attempts to do with us, he finds no place in us. Amen? So it is extremely important that you understand what Jesus said in John 16. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, trouble. The world is trouble all the time. You think there's some world trouble in the world now? We got governments that have no idea now what to do. But glory to God, we're not of the world. We're in it. But even though there's trouble, Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Were you crucified with Jesus? Were you buried with him? Were you resurrected with him? If he overcame, we overcome. Every problem. Well, you don't understand. I'm praying that God will be with me through this trouble. Why are you praying for him to be with you? That prayer is a prayer of unbelief. Why? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. When is he with us? Now, all the time. But can you see how the prayer itself, when it's not a prayer in faith, will erode and open the door to the unbelief. The prayer itself. You think you're doing good. Well, would you pray for me when I go on this trip? Be careful who you ask to pray for you. Oh Lord, be with them on this trip. Oh Lord, be with them as they go. Oh Lord, be with them. Come from out here. Wait a minute. You just told me earlier that who lives in you? Holy Spirit. What's the proper way to deal with it? You get in your car, you put on that seatbelt, you crank that car up, and you go, this trip is blessed in the name of Jesus. Done. My journey will be without incident other than good stuff. Amen? You all know the story. Not all of you. Maybe some haven't. But I tell the George Mueller story. The first time I read it was 25, 30 years ago. George Mueller, who, if his own testimony said, I have prayed for 50 years, prayers, I've never had a no. I said, well, here's a guy I want to listen to a little. He lived 1830 to 1900 or so. Had an orphanage in England that 2,000 children were there all the time. He pastored a church. He traveled around the world ministering when it was boats. And he's on the boat, and he's going to Canada to minister, and the fog comes in, and the ship goes down to just a crawl, and he goes to the captain and says, I got to be in Canada by Saturday, because that's where I'm supposed to minister on Saturday, and I never not make it to where I'm supposed to be. Captain says to him, we're not going to make it by Saturday. No way. This fog has got us crawling. He says, well, let's go pray. They go down and pray. And there was another fellow there who joined them in prayer. They prayed. And after George Mueller got done praying, the captain said, I'd like to pray. And George Mueller looked at him and said, please don't. He said, you don't believe. And I have to get to Canada. Then he said to him, in 5 minutes, you look outside, that fog will be gone. 5 minutes, he looked outside, that fog was gone. How important was it that George Mueller said, please don't pray? It was the difference. Remember, Jesus put them out of the house when he went to raise the little girl from the dead? He put all the doubt and all the unbelief out of the house. Even Jesus knew their doubt and unbelief was going to hinder Jesus. So we need to pay attention, especially to what comes out of our mouth. Amen. Every prayer request should be the answer to the problem, not the problem. Every petition that we bring to the Lord should be the answer. Where's the answer? Here's the answer. Lord, I know that none of this trouble comes from you. And I know you've given me authority in the name of Jesus. Trouble? Get out of here. Why are we so anxious to always go through the trouble and put up with it? I mean, what is the deal there? Where is the scripture, which I hear so much spoken by children of God, where is the scripture that says, I want to praise God because as I went through all of this trouble and tribulation, He was with me? Are we so desperate to find anything to praise God about? That it's not even the case? Are we so desperate for a testimony that we have to make them up like that? Not us. No way. We're supernatural. We are supernatural. Say, I'm supernatural. Every day. Amen. Verse 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. That's a weapon. The word in the Hebrew is weapon. Who brings forth a weapon for his work. I have created the spoiler, which it says destroyer is the Hebrew word, the meaning. Why? What does it say in your Bible? I have created the destroyer, what? To what? To destroy. Whoa, wait a minute. I've had people ask me, how did Satan get created? Well, God did create him an angel. And he did go into rebellion. What does that verse say? It does not say that Satan is there for us to put up with. Jesus came to destroy what? The works of the devil. Once you understand that all the trouble, all the tribulation, all the oppression, all of that stuff that comes against us is a work of the devil, and God has nothing to do with it in the sense that he orchestrated it in any way or gave permission. Amen? We will then say, I've been given weapons. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. I've been given weapons. My weapons are not carnal. They're mighty to the tearing down. Then, instead of going through it and carrying the burden, once we understand, our job is to destroy that work. Amen? Our job is to destroy that work of the destroyer. Now his fate is sealed. And he knows the lake of fire for all eternity. Amen? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Had any weapons formed against you lately? Did you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus? Or did you wonder what you did to deserve it? Didn't say anything about that. What it says in my word is that I'm the righteousness of God. Therefore, I'm entitled to everything the righteousness of God brings. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Let me tell you the first tongue you need to condemn that rises up against you in judgment. Are you ready? Your own. Your own. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me. Second thing you gotta know. He's not behind the trials, the tribulations, the problems and all that. And the second thing is, you're righteous. Righteous, as right as Jesus. And that's how God treats us. Because we're in Him. And I can tell you this, you listen to what I'm telling you. The only way that we can separate ourselves from all of the benefits of being in Christ Jesus is if we choose to work for the blessing. Paul said, that I be found in Him, that my foundation is in Him, not of a righteousness of my own. That I be found in Him, not of a righteousness of my own. I understand, Lord, why I've had this trouble. I mean, I go to church and I pray and I do this and I do that and you list them. That had nothing to do with it. What does that mean, establishing the righteousness of our own? It means I make up a set of things, rules, that I choose to follow. I make them up in my own life, and then I draw all of my acceptance and all of my worthiness and all of it from the fact that I made up this set of rules and I keep them. Turn to Colossians. In Colossians, which is a really good letter is something that we have to get into us and thoroughly understand and really receive and let it grow up in us. Look at Colossians chapter 2, 16th verse. Well, let me go back to the 15th verse because it goes into it. Again, the whole letter in context is great. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. This is talking about what Jesus did to the enemy. Total triumph. Total disarmament. How'd he do it? All of the requirements were nailed to the cross. All of the rules, all of the laws, everything was nailed to the cross. In order for us to receive blessing, in order for us to be righteous. It was all nailed to the cross. So then he goes on from there after Paul states this is what happened. This is what Jesus did for you and I. He goes on with what I call the warning. The warning. The warning. So let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The word substance there literally means body. The body is of Christ. The body is of Christ. Are we the body of Christ? Yes. We're benefiting from everything that Jesus accomplished because we're in the body of Christ. Amen? 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 Let no one cheat you of your reward. Wow, there's a reward here? I read that the first time and I said, God, how neat are you? After all I did, after all I'm forgiven, after all of that, there's a reward? Whoa! Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast, there it is again, holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that's from God. Correlating verse to Ephesians, where we're joints and ligaments. Your relationships that God brings to you within the body of Christ, person to person, member to member, these are the joints and ligaments. And Jesus is the nourisher. He gives everything comes from Jesus to the body, but at the same time, take a lesson. Jesus did not feed the 5,000 plus men and women. The disciples did. Jesus just multiplied the bread and fish. And he gave to the apostles who gave to. Was Jesus the head, the nourisher? Did he do all the supply? Yes. But who actually fed? The apostles, the disciples. Amen? Now, it's tough to receive everything that Jesus has for you when you're kind of out there floating around and you're not connected. Where God has placed you as a member as he pleases. Therefore, verse 20, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerns things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrine of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I free all of you from self-imposed religion in your life. No longer can you be cheated. You will receive the reward. What's the reward? Everything that Jesus bought and paid for us. Amen? false humility, neglect of the body. Now watch this. But are of no value against the indulgences of the flesh. No value of the indulgences of flesh. You can't make enough rules for yourself to get your flesh to submit. So it isn't going to work to make a rule saying, I got to pray every morning. I've got to be in the Word of God and read the Word of God every day. Are you hearing me? It will not cause your flesh to fall in line. And by the way, you can't kill your flesh, okay? Let's just get rid of that notion. You know, we've already been crucified with Christ and the body of sin. Amen? Already. Well, why isn't that happening? You know, the Word of God says that. The Word of God did not profit them, talking children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, because they did not mix with faith the word they heard. Are you hearing a word? Are you hearing something? Now the Word of God says, for this word to profit you, to benefit you, you mix it with faith. Well, how do I do that? Faith is released by confession. Why do you think the devil fights so hard against this? Huh? Oh, then all you're saying is it's all you got to do is say it and confess it? I said, yeah. Now, tell you what. You do it for 3 days. Let me know how you do. I got news for you. It's easier for a person to attend a Sunday morning service every Sunday for a year than it is for them to stand confessing for 3 days. Without muffing it up somehow, without being trapped into some conversation somewhere where they compromise what they said. Don't you understand? All the trials, all the tribulations that the enemy brings, he brings for two reasons. And the first reason is he wants to shut you up. And he wants you to give up the word that was planted in you by speaking doubt and unbelief over that word. And he wants to convince you God don't love you. We've majored up on you got to love God, you got to love God, you got to love God, you got to love God for years. Instead of majoring up on the most important thing, God loves me. And I know it. Paul said, no matter how much tribulation I go through, no matter how much trouble comes my way, no matter what the enemy throws at me, it will not separate me from the love of Christ. Why? There's a spiritual law there, and the enemy knows it. We love him because he loved us first. And until a person knows and has the revelation of the love that God has for them, and then people say, I have no problem with John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he says, I just have a problem with him loving me. Well, that's the point, isn't it? You can believe all you want that he loved the world, but if you don't believe he loves you, they boiled John the Apostle in oil, and they could not kill him. And I'm convinced, beyond all convincing, that in his own testimony, in his own letter, when he said, I know and believe the love that God has for me, they couldn't kill him. Because love never fails. So they had to put him on Patmos. Amen. And the Word of God says, I believe. Let me back up one step. We all have the same spirit of faith. Amen? Say, we all have the same spirit of faith. Therefore, I believe and I speak. Amen? You will not be committed to what you refuse or can't or unable or weak in confessing continually to a truth. Your faith will only rise to the level of your confession. Every time we make the rules for ourselves, okay? Don't. I can't. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. I got to. And many, many times you'll come, you'll hear the Word of God ministered, but then you walk out going, man, I got to do that. Well, Pastor John, then how do I know what to do? Because we do things. Those who are led of the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. Those who are led of the Spirit are not under the law, the rules, the self-imposed religion, are they? Now let me tell you this. Learning, spending the time, practicing to be led of the Spirit is not a waste of time for a second. It's one of the most valuable things you can do. Because the kingdom of God is a theocracy. You know what a theocracy is? It is a kingdom where God is able to rule in each individual's life, communicate with each individual member of the kingdom. It's not a republic. It's certainly not a democracy. It does not operate how the wisdom of man has made different governments to operate. Now, God desired to have that work with the nation of Israel, and He was doing it through the prophets, where God Himself. Do you know that God spoke to the children of Israel out loud, where every one of them heard Him? That's when He gave the Ten Commandments. You know what they said? Whoa, no, we can't. Now you talk to Moses and you tell us we can't stand it. It's always been God's desire. But He couldn't do that unless we're righteous. As good as He is. Because God doesn't compromise the standard. So He brought us up to His. What does that mean? That means I don't have to have a rule to abide by. I could just have God Himself, through the Holy Spirit, tell me. And He does things like that with me. He'll say, I want you to take the next day, and I want you to read through this whole book, like Numbers or something like that, which a few months ago He had me do. But I didn't go, you know, I think I better read Numbers. And I had no idea of that. I just had getting up in the morning and having Him speak to me and say, I want you to go through Numbers. Take the day and read it through. I want you to know something. Every single time you obey what the Holy Spirit tells you, you'll be amazed how easy it is. It'd be startling. It also, you'd be amazed how quick your flesh shuts up. That's what the Bible calls sowing to the Spirit. See, every single time that we operate in a spiritual principle of the Word of God, okay, every single time that we hear what the Spirit is saying and we operate in it, we sow. We sow the seed that the Spirit has given us. We're going to get a harvest. Amen? Now, every time we say, when the Holy Spirit quickens something to you and we pass it by, we're sowing to the flesh. There are times where this Holy Spirit would speak to me and say, pray now. And I've learned over time, I don't need to question Him. Well, what do you want me to pray about? I don't feel like I have to pray. No, just do it. But if I have that impression, and I used to do this, and you know, I'm not standing up here to tell you I learned it all perfectly. Sometimes the Lord had to do this. Come over here, I want to talk to you. Yeah, yeah, Lord, I'll pray later. Well, you know, Lord, you know that I have a rule. I pray every morning, and it's 4 p.m. The quickest way to not hear the leading, the prompting, the counsel of the Holy Spirit is make a rule for yourself. And the rule will override the Spirit. Make a tradition. That'll do you in as quick as anything. Well, you know, Lord, we always have service this way. The Lord dealt with me quite a bit. Really. Well, after all, you know, we always receive the offering after the praise and worship. And the Lord says, who's in charge here? Remember, I had one meeting, and this lady came in, and she just drove up. I think Priscilla spoke to her out in the parking lot, and she came in, had two little children with her, and she came in, and she had mentioned, I think, that she had to leave early and whatnot, but she was a Mormon. But she was looking for the Holy Spirit. Now, Mormons believe that God is in the building. So you have to go to a building to find Him. So she's looking around. Bless her heart. So she comes in, she sits down, and I'm like this in the middle of a message. And she was kind of up there. Of course, it was level, that building. It's kind of out there. She gets up and she starts to leave. And right in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit says to me, do not let her leave this building without praying for her. So I stopped. I said, ma'am, we need to pray for you right now. She said, okay. And we prayed. Maybe 3-4 minutes of praying. And she started to yell, I found the Holy Spirit! I found the Holy Spirit! I found the Holy Spirit! I had three people come to me after that. That the point of the story is, how could you do that? I said, what? How could you stop in the middle of the message? How can you let that lady, watch this, interrupt the Holy Spirit? I had another person come and say, I was really impressed with what you did, that you would actually stop and pray for somebody, because we absolutely know the rule is you never stop the message. So there were mixed reviews. But can you see how the people that were saying, how could you do that, are going by the rule? And then later on in the afternoon, the Lord began to deal with me, and he told me, he said, there's a lot of things I want to do in services, but their tradition and their rules won't let me. I said, well, Lord, I don't want it to be that way. I want what you want done to be done from beginning to end. If there's anything that I have an idea, throw it out. But you know there are people that demand that structure. They're so into tradition of it. I remember the time that I came out and I did the word first, and then we did the praise and worship. Wow. That was really something. There were mixed reviews on that one too. And the Lord specifically told me, he said, you bring the word first and then praise. Are you getting this? You getting this? How many of you got something? Raise your hand and say, I got something. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for each person here. And I thank you, Lord, that your word always bears fruit. Your word prospers in the thing that you've said and never returns to you void. And I thank you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, that every single one here is free from being cheated and are now free to receive the reward. Your reward, Lord. Everything that you have done, it is finished. The work is finished. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, there are those of you here right now, you got something you're dealing with. There's a trial, there's a tribulation, there's trouble. Okay? And we know because we're in the world that happens. And we have to deal with the world. And sometimes people are nasty. And sometimes they're uncooperative, or sometimes things happen this way or that way. But God says, I have overcome. Now, you have something that you're dealing with now, right now in the name of Jesus. It is not something you go through. It is something you overcome. That's part of the blessing. The blessing is we're above and not underneath. We're the head, we're not the tail. Amen? Now, whatever that problem is, that tribulation, that problem, you put it before the Lord. Lord, I'm bringing you this tribulation. I'm bringing you this trouble now. In the name of Jesus. You put that before Him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everyone that came to Jesus came with trouble. All of them. And you bring that forth, and you bring it before Him, and you know every single time Jesus took care of it. Every time. Every time. And Him setting you free And him dealing with the trouble and the tribulation has to do with what he did on the cross, not what we do or didn't do. Mercy not only forgives sin, but it takes away the consequences of it. His mercy endures forever. I want you to follow me in this prayer. Father, thank you. You know the trouble. You know the tribulation. But Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I receive that mercy now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, you have it. You have the trouble. And Lord, your word says we're to be of good cheer. So I'm of good cheer because you have overcome this problem, this trouble for me right now. I receive it. I thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I commit that my mouth, every word, will bring grace to the hearer. I'll speak only what's necessary for edification, for building up, especially to myself, especially in my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that God heard that prayer? I may believe it. He heard it. The word says he answered, and we have the petition that we asked for. So now, every time that it comes up in you, that gratefulness, all you do is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I would dare not tell you that you have to do it 10 times in a day. That's your rule. When that joy comes up, let her rip.